For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2020 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 22nd, 2020. Carla Butard is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the spirit of the bride of Satan.
Well, good morning. Seems like afternoon, though, doesn't it? I forget what time it is when I'm here. You get up at 4, it's like 10 o'clock, it's already like 5 o'clock. So, anyway, aren't you glad you came? Okay. Well, Father, right now, I bind every spirit that would hinder, distract. I bind all the familiar spirits. There will be no partying in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name, I bind every spirit of Antichrist. Every religious spirit. Lord, I send out the warring angels. I call on them to come and do warfare over this place, that we might have an open heaven to receive everything that you have for us today and tomorrow, in Jesus' name. I am going to talk about something today that's not really easy to talk about, but needs to be talked about. If the emails that I'm getting is any, like, barometer or measuring stick, I've been having to send out this information so many times, I thought, Lord, this must need to be taught again. But it is, and if you don't, are not familiar with the term, and if you hear anything here today that you don't understand, or that you immediately, something in you wants to push it away, what I've learned to do is just say, Lord, I'm going to put that on the shelf, and I need you to talk to me about it. And he will. But that way you leave yourself open, you know, to what he wants you to know. Okay, the title of this message is The Spirit of the Bride of Satan. Now, I had very limited understanding on this. Frank Marzullo Sr. wrote a booklet on it. And when I first got into deliverance, his brother Ernie sent me everything. VCR tapes, cassette tapes, books, and I camped out on those things for a very long time. And I had read that little booklet, but I had no understanding of it at all. But one time I was here, it's been years ago, and there was a lady here who, every time she came, she had the same sadness, the same, I don't mean this in a critical way, but a haggard look. Just a really tormented look. And my heart went out to her. I started praying for her when I would leave camp because, Lord, most of the time when people come, they may look that way when they get here, but they look different when they leave. But she didn't. And every time she would come, it would be that same look. And I had begun to pray for her. Well, anyway, Dr. Null, if y'all knew Dr. Null, he was an awesome man and could usually put his finger on the thing, whatever it was. And he would pray for her every time. And one time out of the blue, and I don't even know if I was teaching at the time, but he called me over and he said, pray for her. And it was terrifying because, oh my goodness, Dr. Null, if you can't, I mean, it was scary. So I was standing there, and big tears were rolling down her face. And in my heart, I was just saying, Lord, what is it? What is it? And I heard the spirit of the bride of Satan. And I didn't even know what to do with that. And so she was taller than I, and I stood on my tiptoes because I didn't want anybody else to hear me say it. And so I just whispered in her ear, and when I did that, I thought she was going to hit me. But her arms like that, and she crossed her chest, and she fell on her face, literally, on the floor, like a tree trunk. And it scared me. Now, that's an important thing to remember, and I have learned that Satan uses those things to distract us. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, it scared me. And it made me think, one time I was reading the story about the boy who had the fit that was thrown into the fire. The disciples were going to try to cast that spirit out, and he fell down foaming at the mouth, and they couldn't cast the spirit out. I said, I bet I know what happened. That freaked him out. And they thought that thing was just too much for them. But the devil loves to do that. He loves to catch you off guard, and he loves to distract you, to pull you away from what should be taking place. So anyway, immediately I got down on the floor, and I was going to turn her over, and it was like she was nailed to the floor. I could not move her one inch. It was like all of a sudden she was a concrete statue that was too heavy for me to pull over. And that was astonishing. What in the world is happening? And so when I looked up in my amazement, there was a man. My eyes just went on the man. And I... So he came over, and it took both of us to turn her over. When we turned her over, she was not breathing. And I just immediately started binding the spirit of death and commanding breath into her. And she took a breath, and she sat up. But she was not there. I mean, it was just like someone had yanked her. In fact, I thought, has she astral projected somewhere? Because nobody's home. And she remained that way. Now, some other people came over and started praying and casting and binding and all different kinds of things. And then all of a sudden in my mind, I had this picture. My little granddaughter was probably about 5 at the time. She's almost 15 now, so that's how long ago it was. And she began to cry. And I could see in the spirit a little girl, a scared little girl. And so I got two chairs, and I put her in a chair, and I sat beside her. And I did with her what I would have done to the scared little girl. I just pulled her to me and began to rock her. And she started to cry even more. And then she got in my ear and she said, can I tell you a secret? That was startling. It was a little girl's voice. And I said, you can tell me anything. So she began to tell me that the mean man would come and get her. And you can imagine the rest. And then I knew what was happening. And this had been happening to her since she was little. Now, the molestation didn't continue all those years, but when the molestation stopped, the demon started. And that is the demon that I'm calling the spirit of the bride of Satan. And what I've learned over the years is that people who are sexually abused for a long period of time, maybe it was a rape. If you were in the occult, sometimes there's satanic ritual abuse, sexual. Let me tell you, the sex act, is the highest form of control and witchcraft on this earth. Amen. And that's why Satan uses it so much. Because you gain the control over the person. That soul tie thing, I want to talk about that in a minute, it's very strong. But when these type things happen to a person, and it can even be generationally inherited. If someone in the bloodline had that spirit, it can pass on down. And what I call that is a familiar spirit. Because I know that growing up, I suffered many manifestations. I'm pretty sure if there was a psychologist in my elementary school, they probably said, that little girl is being molested, or something to that effect. Because it was born into me. I didn't inherit the spirit of the bride of Satan, but I inherited manifestations of sexual molestation. And it manifested itself through masturbation. From a little bitty girl. I was at a women's conference years and years and years ago. I was just a brand new Christian. And the woman said, I want you to close your eyes and think of the very first memory that you have. And then she opened the floor for people to share what their very first memory. Oh, I remember when I got my very first baby doll or my very first, you know, and I was horrified at my memory. Because that was my very first memory. So it must have been going on for many, many years. It was a generationally inherited curse. Now, there are those who will say, oh, I don't believe there's any such thing as generational curses. Well, if you look at alcoholism, 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 cancer, 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 abuse, 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 you know, those things, I mean, even medical science. With sicknesses, you go to the doctor, they give you that form. It's got no, I haven't been in the doctor in so long, I don't know how long the form is now. But every disease known to man and syndromes and disorders, it's all there for you to check. You know why? Because they know it runs in families. They know what to look for. You do most of your own diagnosis on those forms. They just, I mean, no offense to doctors. I have a son that's a doctor. I know there's a lot of study that goes into that. And I'm not knocking that. But the point I'm making is science has proven that there are such things as generational curses. And one time I was having a discussion with a man, and he said, there's no such thing as generational curses. And Jesus Christ became the curse. He took the curse. He was the curse. We're all free of the curse. Well, theoretically, that's true. So I didn't say anything. And when I got in the car, I said, Lord, what do you say to someone who has that belief? And, you know, when I say those things to God, I don't expect an answer just like that. Sometimes it takes a long time for the answer to come, but that day it was immediate. And I heard, if there were no such thing as generational curses, there would be no need for anyone to be saved. Because what we need to be saved from happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. And how many generations ago was that? Yes, they are real. But the good news is we don't have to keep them. Another person said, well, I was talking about alcoholism and drug abuse in our family, and suicide, and mental illness, and the list goes on. I said, those are curses. Oh, I don't believe. Those are not curses. And I said, well, would you call them a blessing? There's blessings and there's cursings. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It gives a list of blessings and it gives a list of cursings. You can find every sickness in those descriptions, those curses that are listed. Yes, they're real. I like to use John chapter 11. This is the story of Lazarus coming out of the grave. We all know the story. Is there anyone here who does not know the story? We all know the story. Okay. So the scriptures that I want to really look at is verse 42. Jesus said, he's praying. Well, let me just, the prayer starts in 41 when Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus said, had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. That's what we're going to be talking about. This thing is a grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, all the people that were there, loose him and let him go. See, Jesus resurrected Lazarus, but he didn't take the grave clothes off Lazarus. He gave that to the people to do. And that's what deliverance is all about. Stripping the grave clothes off. If nobody had taken those grave clothes off Lazarus, he would have had a hard time living his life. And that was my testimony of being saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, but I could not successfully live this life. I was like Paul. When I wanted to do good, evil was present. The very thing I didn't want to do is what I did. Without deliverance, that's where you're going to stay. So I don't understand why the body of Christ as a whole does not embrace the casting out of demons. Well, yeah, there's been a lie. The devil told a lie. And that is that a Christian cannot have a demon. Well, when the woman came to Jesus and said, my daughter is vexed with a demon, she wanted her daughter delivered. But guess what? Jesus said, it's not right to take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. Because it belongs to the children. God's children. Those that belong to God. The casting out of demons is for the sanctification of our bodies. When we get saved, our spirit is sealed, it says, until the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. But our soul and our bodies are not. It'll be going on until we enter heaven. But really, every time the corporate body of Christ comes together, that corporate anointing in each one of us, there is a power there for people to get saved and healed and delivered. So it's important. Without it, the best you can have is a mixture. You have someone who's been born again, but they've got demons. Maybe they were in the occult and then they become a Christian. So now they're going to live for God. But guess what? They had a spirit of divination from the occult. And it gets mixed up with prophecy. And sometimes, and there's a lot of that out there. It's not specifically a word from God. It's mixed with divination. And then you've received it as a word from God. We have to be careful, really careful with that. Many lives have been absolutely wrecked by words from well-meaning people who think the gift that they're using is from God, and it's not always, because it's a mixture. So we need to get our vessels purified and get those things out. And the only way you can do it is to cast it out in the name of Jesus. You can't send it, I call that the demon, to a psychiatrist and they're going to get rid of it. It doesn't happen. You can't go to the doctor and get a pill for it. It's not going to help it. These things, God says in his word, will be cast out in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do here. You know, thank God, like Hamilton is here. People come and get demons cast out. Now, I have introduced deliverance to some. Oh, I got delivered years ago. Okay. It's not an event. It is a lifestyle. You may have gotten some deliverance then, but there's more and more and more. And the way God laid that out to me was by using the tabernacle in the Old Testament, which was three parts, inner court, outer court, Holy of Holies. We are referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we're three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus comes in, he lives in our spirit, but the body and the soul is something different. So when Jesus in the New Testament went into the temple and they were money changing, he had to cast them out. It said after they were out, the blind, the sick, and the lame could come in and be healed. And it's true with us. We have junk in our flesh that causes sickness, but when you cast those things out, then you can receive healing. Jesus many times had to deal with the demons before he dealt with healing. He would cast out the spirit, lay hands on them, and heal them. It's all connected. So we can't leave anything off, in other words. Okay, so back to the girl. I told her that we were going to get rid of the mean man. That's when I learned about the mean man spirit. And you know, it's mentioned in the Bible, mean man. Yeah, I was surprised at that. So I broke all of those curses and cast out the spirits of molestation, cut off the hands of the person that was hurting her. And then when I got to the part, remembering God said the spirit of the bride is Satan, I thought, I'm just gonna do this because it came to my mind. Today, we are going to give Satan a spiritual writ of divorcement.
Praise God.
And get rid of it. No more. No more access. What was happening, and I didn't know this at the time, but about 3 weeks after camp, she called me. And she said, I didn't want to speak too soon because I wanted to make sure it was really real. But she had not been raped by a demon since then. That's powerful. The reason she looked so haggard, so worn, so sad, and all of that was because the spirit of the bride of Satan was using her for his pleasure. It's like being a sex slave for Satan. He gives your body access to demonic activity, spiritual, sexual stuff. And I heard on TV one time, Mike and I were watching one of those magazine shows like 2020 or whatever, and that there was a table of women. There were about 12 women around this table. Many of them had their faces blurred because they were talking about this phenomenon of spontaneous orgasm. And it was driving them insane. Some women had committed suicide over it because it was a hopeless situation. They were being tormented day and night. They would talk about like being sitting at their desk at work and this being tormented by this. They didn't know that it was a spirit. They didn't know what it was. And neither did doctors. And I thought, how sad. I bet some of those people even go to church. But there's no help if you don't know about it. And if you don't have it dealt with, it just stays there. And there are even physical bodily responses, like a person had actually had intercourse. Some are very violent and hurt the women. And I'm sure this happens with men too. When I started learning about this, I thought, oh, okay. See, because we hear about incubus and succubus. And we sometimes deal with those spirits, but they don't stay gone. And that's whenever I started, you know, giving that spiritual writ of divorcement. Let's try this. Let's just see. And it puts a stop to it. So I'm led to think that the spirit of the bride of Satan is like a ruler spirit, a strong man, the one that's over incubus and succubus. So that's the one I want to deal with to put an end. Now, I have heard it said that a generational curse will not be a part of your life unless you activate it. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that it's just the opposite. It's the presence of that generational curse that will even lead you into whatever it is, you know, because what would give a 3-year-old the idea to masturbate? Nobody, I didn't have to see it. Nobody had to teach it to me. And there's a misunderstanding because I had the misunderstanding. I hated that thing, but I had no control over it. And I couldn't wait till I got married so I would have a man. You know, if I had a man, then I wouldn't do that. But guess what? I got married and it showed up still demanding to be satisfied. That was so tormenting. I didn't tell my husband about it. He just thought it was weird. Well, if you don't know about it, and I didn't, it was weird to me too. And so in some of these emails, well, the question that was posed to me is, and by more than one woman, many people, do you think it's wrong? Is masturbation wrong? And I send them one of my teachings that I've taught on it. And they want to defend it. They want to tell me, no, I think you're wrong because, see, I know you have a husband. And I'm thinking, yeah, but it still showed up until it was cast out. Then if the temptation of it comes, I had the power to stand against it. But when it was still there, I had no power. It would torment me and torment me and torment me until you satisfy it. And that's how I see that demons, they're in you, and they want to be satisfied. If it's murder, it's murder. If it's stealing, it's stealing. Whatever the demon is, it's down in here. And you may be just living life and doing just fine, and all of a sudden, it comes up. And I see it like this. Okay, right now, it's me and the demons down here. And then it starts coming up. When it gets there, it puts you under and takes control. People say, yeah, but you decided to give in to it. Well, I know in my own life that was not true. I did not want to. I did not want to. When I had that spirit that we call Jezebel, that overbearing, demanding, angry, that thing. And I hated that. I hated it. But see, the devil had me convinced that it was me. That was me. I was so glad to find out about demons, to learn that I am not an evil person. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our war is with the satanic forces. That's where our war is. And so, but when that thing, and it comes at an opportune time, when I'm at home by myself, she doesn't show up. If my husband's there and we're having a dispute, she shows up. And I would even say, I would see what a woman, a godly woman, was supposed to be like, and that's what I wanted to be. But when that thing, I'm telling you, it was like a volcano. I could feel it way down. And it would be boom, boom. And I would be going, I'm not going to do my, you know, because whoop. And there it is. And all that's left for me after is the damage. Cruel. Demons are cruel and destructive. Okay, so many women, I believe, are affected by this. They are tormenting spirits. And maybe it's not even masturbation. Maybe it's whoredom. Maybe you go out and before you know it, you're with another man. And it's very prevalent in today's society. There are people in the entertainment industry that are bragging about having sex with demons. Yeah. Now, back in the day, we would have never heard anything like that. Ever. I can remember Mike and I were married. I didn't even know homosexuals existed. And when I found out, or incest, I think when I learned about it, we had gone to a movie. And there was a big secret in the whole movie. And it was that this woman had a child. It was her father's child. At the end of the movie, she divulges the big secret. My daughter is my sister. Wait a minute. How can a daughter be a sister? And Mike said, well, that must have meant that her daddy had sex with her. I didn't even know it existed. And today, I cannot believe where the world has gone since I've been born. I mean, I'm sure my mother, who's 94, has seen way more than I have. But it is shocking. And the emails that I am getting, which I was torn between which message to give, because I was thinking about doing a message on life in the new normal and dealing with the spirits that we, the grief, you know, I find myself relating to Lot. He was vexed by the evil. Vexed. And I'm feeling that. Vexed at the things that are going on in people's lives that we should never, ever even have to deal with, but we're having to deal with. We're living in the days of woe. Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. Those are the days we're living in. And how the enemy is getting so bold. He's always been bold, but he's in your face bold now.
Yeah, that's right.
With his stuff. Forcing it on us. Grandparents emailing. My beautiful granddaughter has decided she's not a girl. It just is vexing. But that's where we are. So this can be generationally inherited. And the Ten Commandments makes that perfectly clear. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. And I will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now we all think, oh, well, good, I'm safe there. But that word safe has to do with loyalty. Those who are not loyal to me, and before we knew Jesus, we were all our own gods, which is idolatry. Therefore, it is a perpetuating visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation. You know how many people that is? For two people who have children, 60 for this one and 60 for that one. So you've got a gene pool of 120 people's characteristics that are coming down the chute to form that one baby. And they come with grave clothes. They come with grave clothes. Even King David said, I was born in iniquity. Well, I used to think that was because his mama was promiscuous until I understood. Every person born after Adam and Eve are born with a capital S stamp on them, and it's sin. And we need a Savior. Okay, so any type of continued perversion can bring this to a person. Promiscuity, prostitution, having many sexual partners. Yoga. I'm shocked at the amount of churches that are teaching yoga and they're going to Christianize it. No. Another thing that they started doing in churches was, I'm not even going to be able to pull up the name of it, but it's like a big maze or something in a circle. Well, yes, labyrinth. Yeah, they're doing that in churches. A pastor asked me one time, he says, why do you think people are getting involved in all of this stuff? And I said, because they're bored. They're not experiencing the power of God in church. So they're seduced and excited by new stuff, Satan's stuff, pornography. I was shocked to learn that women watch it. You know what? If you're wrapped in flesh, it's all there. It's all there. These are all things of the flesh. Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, educated, uneducated, any nationality in the world. It's wrapped in flesh, and it likes these kinds of things. Activities that are against God's word. I had a woman one time tell me, because she was struggling with some stuff, so I'm an investigator. So I'm asking questions. So I asked her, have you ever committed adultery? She said, yeah, more than once. She said, but can I tell you that was the best sex I've ever had? I said, you want to know why? And I didn't even know I knew why. I mean, God does this sometimes. He'll give me an answer to something that I don't know. And so the woman in my flesh woman said, yeah, I want to know. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I want to know. So this is what came out. It's nothing new. Deborah mentioned it last night. The devil came and said something to Adam and Eve. And it was the fact that the reason God doesn't want you to eat from that is because you're gonna be like him. You're gonna know. And so she got offended that God was holding out something on her. She looked at it. It was something to be desired. So she ate. Same thing with this. You're married. You know you're not supposed to do that. Satan has an anointing, if you will, an evil anointing, that causes his stuff to be more desirable than what God has given us. It's an anointing, an evil anointing. And if we knew that we were being seduced by an evil anointing, we would say, I'm not touching that. Get away from me. Yes. I'm going to tell you something funny. I left. We've had three deaths in our family 2 weeks ago. Well, in the last week and a half. And so Mike couldn't leave his job that much. You know, we have to close the office for a half a week. And so he couldn't do that. And so it was my relatives. One was his. He did go to that funeral. But on my side, the other two, he didn't close the office to come. So the second day that I was away from home, he said, "I got the strangest text last night." I said, "You did?" "Yeah." It said, "Hi, sweetie. This is Jen. I'm going to be in your area the next couple of days. Why don't we get together?" I said, "And what'd you do?" He said, "Well, I texted back and said, I don't know anybody named Jen, so you must have the wrong person." And I said, it didn't dawn on me when he was reading it to me. And then I went, "Oh, I know what that was." Because Gail Patton years ago did a teaching on witchcraft, and she said witches will assign someone to go and seduce your husband. Pastors especially, they really love to do that. And when I got out of that meeting, I went and called my husband immediately. I said, "You be watchful." I was binding those witches in the name of Jesus. And I usually do that, but I mean, it was just like a death, a death, a death, you know, and all the details. And so I was not on my game. And I said, "Honey," I just started praying. "I bind every witch, every spirit of seduction that would be sent to you while I'm away from home. I bind them in the name of Jesus." I said, "And you be watchful." But isn't that, he's never gotten anything like that when I'm home. I said, "And don't answer anymore. That was a hook, honey." You don't answer texts like that. Just swipe them off. But that was kind of strange. They know. They watch. There was a woman here one time who said, "Did you know that witches have their own schools?" This is before I didn't know anything about witches. I had a crash course, literally a crash, and a fall and a fall and a fall and a fall. Took me a while, but anyway, I said, "No, but it doesn't surprise me." But today, you know what I would say? "Really? Which one did you go to?" Because then she said, "And did you know that when they graduate, they get appointed to a minister or a ministry?" I said, "Well, that doesn't surprise me either." And I had already told her I didn't have but a minute because I needed to go down to the room. And she kept on and on and on. And I had told her when she said, "I just have a minute." So I got up and I touched on the hand and I said, "I don't mean to be rude, but I have to go." And I got up and turned around, and it was like my left foot was nailed to the floor. I went straight down. Spent the rest of my camp back there on the back row with my foot propped up on a pillow. Glenn found me some old crutches here, and I hobbled home after the meeting was over, but I didn't minister. So it's a very real thing. Okay, so pornography, what happens when men are partaking, and women, spirits, God showed me a picture, spirits coming out of the screen and coming into the person. The question I had posed to God was about homosexuality, because my cousin's son, her only son, is gay. And I was, "Lord, we have a lot of stuff in our family. Where did that come from?" Well, her husband, she didn't know, had an addiction to pornography. he would skip work to go to those triple X theaters on the side of the road. I don't know what goes on in there, but he would hang out there. And God showed me that while he was watching pornography, in the privacy, he's an adult in the privacy of his own home, and he should be able to do what he wants to. That's, you know, men will say that. But while they're watching, spirits are coming out of that screen. Perversion, homosexuality, bestiality, lesbianism, unclean spirits, all manner of demons are coming through that screen, and then they're going all around the house visiting your little ones. And those spirits went into the husband and attached themselves to his seed. And when he impregnated her, all those familiar spirits of homosexuality, all of those spirits of perversion, they all went with his seed into that womb. Now, this made me rethink, because they'll say, I was born that way. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Those spirits went in there, those familiar spirits. And you know what a familiar spirit is? It's, like I said a while ago, I wasn't molested, but I had spirits of a person who was. Must be in the family line somewhere. No doubt. But I didn't have the molestation, the spirit of molestation, but the manifestations, which I call familiar spirits. See, the demon is in you. The familiar spirits are out here. It's a spirit that is familiar with the family and you, and it follows the bloodline, and it will guide, protect, and lead you in ways that are contrary to the ways of God, the plans and purposes that God has for you. So, and this was a good illustration. My mom, when my dad died, she remarried. The man was a veterinarian. And she would go in when he had surgeries, on the day he had surgery, and she would hand him the instruments and stuff. She said, you want to hear something weird? I said, what? When an animal dies, if there's a flea, a tick, a worm, any, they all vacate the body as soon as it dies. Wow. And they're looking for another host, you know, because they are parasites, like demons. They've got to have a body in order to live. Demons are the same way. So, I'm not saying this to freak you out, but if you have someone in your family who is near death, I have begun to bind those spirits to their bones that will go to the grave and stay there and not attached to another family member. Because that's a very real thing too. If the daddy dies and he's full of lust, when he dies, they vacate the body and look for the next most likely candidate. And I saw that demonstrated in a documentary about, it was some football player. He ended up murdering some people. And he had never had a violent streak in him. But his daddy was a very violent man. And his best friend said, something happened to him after his daddy died. And then he murdered these people, and he was gay. And this was all a big shock to the sports world and everything. But I could see the spirit, the demon, the familiar spirit, all of that at work. That's what I love most about learning about deliverance, is that you can understand now why these things are. I used to just have questions. One of my questions was, where do these thoughts of murder, it was actually my brother used to agitate me, and I had that. I had a rage that came from the spirit of abortion, a rage, a murderous rage. I'd never had an abortion. It's another familiar spirit. My grandmother tried to abort my mother. It didn't work, but those spirits came into my mother and then into me and then into my daughter. And it wasn't until she had her baby that I had the knowledge to break those spirits off of her and the baby, because she told me when I went, she lived across the state, I went out to be with her. She looked horrible. She did. Of course, she had a baby. She was not married. And I've understood now that the blessing, you know, children are a blessing from the Lord. And so because she wasn't married, she didn't have the blissful feeling of the baby. You know, oh, you know. She said, I never felt that. When I walked in, she was holding it like a sack of potatoes. And the little baby was just clawing its face. It was disturbing. And then my daughter, I thank God that she told me that the baby was in the crib. She kept having this feeling that something was happening to the baby. She would run to the crib, baby's fine. She's fixing a sandwich and she's cutting, slicing a tomato. And she said, I heard that I could take the knife and go and stab her. Then I knew what was going on. Okay, so I said, look, I'm going to pray for you. Don't listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking to you anyway. And I commanded that spirit. I broke it off of her, commanded those murderous spirits and everything that I knew to pray. And I'm not kidding you. She had an unloving spirit. She couldn't love the baby. She wanted to love the baby, but she had no love feeling towards that baby.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.